What's up, everyone? Good evening, Wednesday crew. We're going to get right into it. Listen, if you have your Bibles, which you should, I pray you do, so you can follow along. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12 tonight, starting in verse 35. Luke 12. Now you guys know I love to read through the passage before we dive in or do anything, and so that's what we're gonna do. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Are you guys there? Yeah. No, not yet. That's okay. We're going. You can just listen. Says this, verse 35. It says to be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third, and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master would put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and eat and drinks and gets drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging, that word means beating, will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. And so tonight, I just have 3 points to take away from this passage or this portion of Scripture. And so the first point that I have here is called to be ready. We get that from verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. I believe other versions say stay dressed for action. King James Version says keep your loins girded, but they all mean the same thing. Amen? Which is to be ready. Second point would be called to wait. That's the second one. Verse 36, it says, be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns. And my third point is this, called to work. Verse 43, it says, blessed is that slave who's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so if I could ask you a question, but who here, by a show of hands, who here is a follower of Jesus? Go ahead. Amen? And it's okay if you're not tonight, because you have an opportunity to be one. But for those of us who raised our hands and said, I am a follower of Jesus, you can actually put that phrase, follower of Jesus, in front of each point, and it would actually sound like this. Followers of Jesus are called to be ready. Followers of Jesus are called to wait. Followers of Jesus are called to work. Amen? Amen. Now, last week, Monday, I was in Oahu for a little while, 2-day trip. Was it a 2-day? Where's my wife? Oh, no. 2-day trip. It was Micaiah's first plane ride ever, and he did amazing. But heading back, I don't know if this ever happened to you guys before, but our flight got delayed. And our plane, which was supposed to take off at 8:40, was now pushed back till around 10:30-ish. I got those text messages, and so it was about 6 p.m. at that point, and so guess what we did? We decided to just kind of hang out at home, right? Just chill out. But guess what? This is what I'm saying. 7:30 rolls around, and another message saying, great news, your flight is about to leave on time. Now, first things first, our bags wasn't even in the car yet. That's what I'm thinking about. Let alone having to prepare and secure a 2-month-old into his clothes. I hope most of you guys know that. And getting him into a car seat is a completely separate mission. Not only that, my mom, every time I visit, she loves to pack us kimchi. Like, anybody here love kimchi? I love kimchi. So does she. But every time I visit, she loves to pack that. And so what ended up happening is that kimchi was actually left out from the night before, and it started to ferment. And because it was fermenting, the container couldn't hold the juices, and it ended up exploding all over the floor, right? And so now I just want you to kind of picture all that's happening right now. I gotta go. It's chaotic. There's a commotion of us having to rush out with baby and smelly kimchi bags. And then really the primary thought is, am I even going to make my flight? My wife's like, I hope we're not left behind. It's like, anyway. But thank God we made it. Even though TSA always pulls us over for my kimchi, like they always pull us over. And I think it's just because they're jealous. Yeah, Pastor Steve, they're like, where's my jar? But yeah, anyway, we still made it through. But I just want to share with you guys that in that time, from us in between us scrambling at home and all the way to the airport gate, wasn't a fun time. In fact, there was a lot of anxiety there. There's a lot of frustration. I kept replaying scenarios in my head over and over, and I was telling myself, my wife should have got ready sooner. No, I'm just kidding. I should have gotten ready. I should have gotten everything ready to go rather than doing things last minute. And because of that, there wasn't any peace in my heart. Now, all that to say, I want us to know that we too live in a time of two significant events. And so here's some Bible. The first event, which happened already, was actually called the ascension of Jesus. Amen? And so after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus didn't stay here on earth, but went back to where he came from, heaven. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. We get this from Acts chapter 1. It says that Jesus was taken up while his disciples were looking at him. A cloud then received him out of their sight. Now that's amazing, but in the next verse, we have another event that's going to happen. It says that as they were gazing intently into the sky, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and this is what they said. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. You see, on this day, not only did Jesus ascend, but this tells us that there will be a day when he returns. And all of the times when we hear sermons like this, we tend to hear questions like, if Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would he find you doing? If Jesus was coming back tomorrow, where would he find you going? But tonight, I want to ask us here a more general question. If Jesus so happened to come back tomorrow, or even if he came back tonight, my question is this. Are you ready? Will you be ready to meet him? And I get it, with all of the solar eclipses passing over the United States and we should have been raptured out on Monday. I heard it all. With all of the Christian influencers and people trying to predict dates and times, I want us to take these things with a grain of salt and remember this. Preparation for that day is better than prediction. I'm going to say that again. Preparation for that day is better than prediction. Jesus said it himself, nobody knows the day or the hour, and so therefore we need to work with what we got. And what we got is the word of God saying there will be a day when he returns. And so we should live our lives today according to this truth, planning and preparing for that day. You see, Jesus wanted his disciples to live their lives as if he was coming back in their lifetime. And the way that he would do this is that he would teach his disciples to now put on readiness. See, it means that you and I and believers everywhere and for his disciples are to be ready always. Not because there's a solar eclipse, not because someone came up to you and calculated different numbers and calendar years, but because the word of God says so. Amen? Yeah. Chauncey, it kind of sounds a little hot. No? No? I can hear like this, whoom. Yeah. Yeah, can you hear me? Are we good? All right, we're going to start over. <That's good. laughs> Because the word of God says to be prepared. Amen? And so here's my first point. Verse 35. For us local people in Hawaii, if you're taking notes. Ready? You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Let me say it again. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Let's read verse 35. Jesus says this, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. King James Version says, let your loins be girded and your lights burning. And so back in those days, the choice of clothing were these long flowing white robes. It was normal back then. It's totally different right now. Now, it wouldn't be as easy to move around or to have any stretch in their legs unless they used something to tie those robe upwards, maybe a belt or maybe a rope. And so Jesus gives this analogy using their clothing or clothes in relation to being ready, to be dressed for action. My wife said if Jesus were here today, he would probably tell you to sleep with your slippers on. That was funny. I thought that was pretty funny. Or to always wear your company work shirts to bed. Now remember, this was an analogy, right? And so it had less to do with your physical appearance, our physical appearance, but Jesus geared this example of readiness to the attitude of our hearts. Listen, readiness is an attitude. And we are called daily to put readiness on, to be dressed for action while our lamps continue burning. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize this text, but simply say that lamps were used at night. It means that while everyone else was sleeping, the master's servants would stay awake. Why? Because the master of the house could return at any given day, at any given moment. You see, readiness oftentimes involved any personal reservations a person might have to now take the back seat. I'm going to say that one more time. Oftentimes, readiness involved any personal reservations a person might have to now take the back seat. You see, these servants couldn't be ready to receive their master when he was coming home if they were busy doing something else. And so here's another question for us tonight. I know you love questions. Where do you feel in your heart that you might be serving another master? Maybe it's the master of success. Maybe it's the master of status. Maybe you find yourself getting ready to make this life your best life, but Jesus warns us about that. He says, those who find their lives will lose it. But those who lose their lives for my name's sake will find it. You see, the truth is this, we're all getting ready for something. But in the end, there's only one master we need to be ready for, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so once again, my question is this, if Jesus came back tonight, will you be ready to meet him? And so what's the first point? You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Amen. Always be ready for the Lord's coming. Now, readiness oftentimes involved another thing, and this thing is called waiting. Let's read verse 36. It says this. It says, be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Now, first century Hebrew weddings would last many days. And so the time of the master's return would be uncertain or they would be unknown. The only way for the servants to be ready at the door when their master arrives is only if they are waiting for him. Here's our second point. God's people are waiters. Now, Pastor Steve says it all the time in his sermons. I wanted to take that. I am taking it. We live in a world, he says, that we want things now. Right? Like, I want it now. Like, by the time he says you finishing ordering out a menu at McDonald's or somewhere, you want your bag sticking out the window, right? But the word of God over and over again clearly tells us to now wait on the Lord. And a lot of them are actually found in the Psalms. Check this out, Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. Psalms 31:24, wait for the Lord. Psalms 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. Psalms 39:7, now Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. One more. Psalms 42:11. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why do you groan within me? Wait for God, I will yet thank him for he is my deliverance and my God. And listen, maybe this is a word for someone here tonight. You might be in a season of not knowing what to do or not knowing where to go. Can I just encourage you with this? Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. I have never once heard in my life someone say, I shouldn't have waited. Never. I should have just gone my own way. But rather, testimony after testimony after testimony is, I'm glad I waited on the Lord. I'm so thankful I didn't make that choice. I'm so grateful for his timing. Amen? See, God knew when to bring my wife into my life. God knew the right time for us to have a son. That means God is aware of all the little details of our lives. Josh spoke about this last week, that God knows us and cares for us. And so my point is this, in the context of the Lord's return, God's people are called to wait. To be ready at the door means to be waiting for his arrival so that when he comes, we can immediately open the door for him. And so here's a couple questions again. Do you love the Lord? Then wait upon him. Do you trust the Lord? Then I encourage you, wait upon him. You see, those who wait upon the Lord in this life, Jesus says in verse 37, those people are considered blessed. This word blessed means happy. Let's read verse 37. Jesus says this, blessed are the slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. You see, this was a very unusual thing for a master to do in regards to his slaves. But at the end of it all, Jesus is saying, for those who wait upon my arrival in this life, I will be waiting upon theirs in the next. Jesus is saying, those who receive me in the home of their hearts now, I will receive them at home in heaven. And my encouragement to us as Christians is to continue waiting. Because at the end of it all, we will no longer be waiting, but it says that we will be sitting and we will be with him at his table. Amen? And now, I'm going to read verse 38 to 40. But it says this, whether he comes in the second watch or even the third watch and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. See, Jesus drives the point home that our lives are to be lived as if he could come back at any moment. Like a thief breaking into a home and robbing someone's house, or their master returning home in the middle of the night, Jesus wants his followers to live with an attitude of expectance. Whether he comes today or tomorrow or in 10 years or 20 years, Jesus is saying, always be ready. Always be waiting so that you're not caught off guard. Let's read verse 41 to 44. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said to Peter, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of all his servants, to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. And so my first point was, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Second point is that readiness or preparation always involves waiting. Now, this is our third point. Believers aren't called to passively wait on the Lord, but they are called to actively wait on him. This means that while we are waiting for the Lord to come, we are also working. Amen? And so back then, in a single home, there wouldn't just be one slave, but actually a master could have many slaves. And the master would usually put one of those servants or slaves as kind of like the overseer over all of them. He was in charge of feeding them, watching them, and taking care of them. That was his role. And so Jesus says here, blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so here's another question for us tonight. Where has God placed you? Or better yet, where has God called you? You see, for Peter, he would end up being the leader of the early church. And the calling on his life was to be a pastor and evangelist, and we know that he was faithful in his calling because the gospel reached here. We got the gospel today. Now, I don't know if God has called you to be a pastor or an evangelist. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But I believe the question that matters the most is this: where does God have you guys right now? Maybe he's called you to just be a son or a daughter to your parents. Bible says, honor your father and mother. Maybe you're a father or a mother to your children. Or you're a wife to your husband or a husband to your wife. Either way, you're married. Maybe right now you're an employer or an employee, a work crew leader, overseer, elder, brother, sister, friend. Listen, do you see that God has placed you somewhere and has given you a role to live out today? Not 1 year from now, not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now. See, God has placed you somewhere at this very moment, in this very season, to be who he's called you to be. And so my next question for you tonight is this: are you the faithful and sensible steward? Or simply this: have you been faithful in your roles? I love what Pastor Jason said last week about Abraham. Now, taking the step of faith to move out in his homeland, but it doesn't end there, right? He said it takes more faith to go where God has placed you and to now live faithfully. To live faithfully means to be faithful over the things that are right in front of you today. Despite how you might feel, despite what you might think, to be the best person you can be at the job you hate. I think he said that one. To be the best mother to a fussy baby, a best father, best husband, best wife, and to live month after month, year after year through the mundane, I like that word, through the normal, through the boring, through the day-to-day. Because the reality is this: life is not always mountaintop explosions of excitement. Sometimes in life there are extreme highs, but there are also gut-wrenching lows. That means that we can't base our faithfulness off of our emotions or how we might feel, but only off of what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is clear. Jesus says, blessed are those slaves whom his master finds doing what he's supposed to be doing. Blessed are you that you continue to be faithful in the roles that God has placed you today. Amen? And so we're going to finish this up. Let's read verse 45 to 48. It says, but if that slave says in his heart, my master will be in a long time coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. In this final section, we see that this servant ultimately let things slip because he believed that his master would take a long time to come back home. But in the end, the master eventually came home. It's his home. And I don't believe that this parable has anything to do with our salvation. And I don't know what degrees or rewards or the type of judgment there will be in God's court, but I do know that one day we will have to give an account for our lives. Not in regards to salvation, because we're only saved through Christ and Christ alone, but I believe that we will give an account of all the things that we've done. And guess what? Maybe all the things we haven't done. I love what this commentator said. He said this, this man was not judged or condemned for evil that was done, but for good undone. Simply saying that this servant knew what to do, but he didn't do it. He continues saying that as believers, there are things that we should be doing. And we are not to be pulled into inactivity by the fact that the Lord has delayed his coming. Every day is eternity. Eternity is now. We are called to do the things that we would do if this were the last day. You see, Jesus had prepared his disciples to live their lives as if he was coming back at any moment. And he's encouraging us to live that way as well. And so if I could just ask you those questions again from the beginning, if Jesus were to come back tomorrow, what relationships would you reconcile today? If Jesus were to come back tomorrow, who do you need to go and ask for forgiveness? Or who do you need to begin to forgive? Where would you preach the gospel one more time? Or who would you go and preach the gospel to? What are some of the things you might be doing differently? Or what are some of the things you might start doing? I think it's safe to say this. You don't need to be like me, scrambling last minute to get things ready for a flight I almost missed, right? You don't need to be unprepared for his coming. You can be ready today. You can be ready right now. But this all begins by putting your faith in Jesus. You see, he is the faithful servant, the one who was completely obedient to his Father's will, as Paul would say, even obedient to the point of death. Jesus came the first time to lay down his life for you and for me, to pay for our sins by dying on a cross. But the next time he comes, he won't come as a king who will lay down his life, but a king who's going to take back this world and judge it. I'm going to finish with this, with Jacob Elin. It's in his commentary. I love this. But he says this: I want to be ready when he comes. Don't you? He's coming for those who are ready. The believer will be ready. The unbeliever cannot be. One will find a blessed hope in the Lord's coming. The other will feel like a thief had just broken into his house. And so once again, here's the question, the first question: are you ready to meet the Lord today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us salvation through his sacrifice. Listen, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you haven't put your faith in him, would you find the courage today to do so? I'm going to lead us through a short prayer, and you can repeat after me, but it's not the prayer, it's by faith. Paul says you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Amen? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And tonight I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again from the grave. I ask you to save me now. And from this day, will you give me a new heart? A heart that obeys you. A heart that responds to you. And most importantly, a heart that loves you. Amen. And God, I lift up those who have been faithfully following you, Lord, to now adopt this truth into their lives, that you could return at any moment, that we would be ready. As believers, we would be waiting and we would be working, living faithfully in where you've placed us today. And I pray that when you come, Lord, you will find your people doing what they're supposed to be doing, where you've called them to do. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.